sisters of the world.
And we're back. It's the terrible twosome here. Me and Ian. What's up? How's it going? Hello to everybody out there. The four very dedicated listeners that have waited, but like all of our delays and everything. Down to one. Wow, that's perfect.
Whoops.
Oh no, but yeah. What's up? How's it going? You gonna take your Handanovic victory lap today?
Matija Jović, jebise, first of all. We're not in the banter era because Handanovic is at the end of the match. Handanovic decided to shut up all the critics. I'm loving every single second of it. D'Ambrosio captain this week as well. I'm loving life.
Oh, yeah. This is why no one else wanted to come on. Everybody knew the victory lap you were about to take. I think Dave just texted the group. He should be on in about 15 minutes. So we'll get him up to speed when he gets in. Matija also saying that Risto's boycotting. No, Risto, that man goes on vacation more than like a millionaire. I swear to God, he's in Greece, I think, again, on a beach. He sent us a pic and was like, it's up to you guys to do an episode. Stay consistent. And I'm like, wow, we're going to have to unionize against this guy. But no, we'll have to have him back next week or whenever we can, because this is episode 99. Episode 100 is going to have to be big. We're going to have to do some fun stuff for that. Back to the football. It's been a minute. I don't think anybody really wanted to talk last weekend after a derby loss. So I guess we can touch on that for a moment.
Oh,
I don't really know how much
we should. We still haven't talked about Inter Cremonese.
We didn't?
Oh, it was shit. After Lazio.
I thought we did. I don't know. When was the last episode we did? Our live scheduling here.
13 days ago, I think.
13 days ago. So that would have been still in. I think we talked about Cremonese because we did our last episode on the 30th or the 30th. No, because the 30th was that Tuesday. Yeah, we. Fuck. When did we talk? Jesus. But yeah, I mean, Cremonese, that was a pretty straightforward win. Then after that, the derby 3-2, I mean, pitiful. Did not enjoy a single second of that. Bayern, just a continuation. It was 180 minutes of misery between those two matches. But we get a light at the end of a tunnel after, I mean, suffering for another basically whole 90 minutes. The goal late against Torino, Brozovic. Man, yeah, what a ride. I mean, it feels like it's been 3 months in the season already, and it's been like a month and a half. It's been tough. But I mean, we're 2 points off the pace right now. I mean, it's early to be scoreboard watching, but I mean, for what everything has felt, that's not too bad. I'll take it. I think I've seen a lot of people say Serie A is going to be a mid off this season. I think they're correct, but I mean, as long as we're the middest of the mid, you know what? I guess we're in the hunt.
I mean, as far as things go, Udinese is fourth and we're fifth. So
that's going to be a tough one next week.
It's next week.
Yeah.
Fuck. This season is going to be fun.
Hey, this is the first real roller coaster Pazza Inter season since Spalletti, I feel. Like, even last season, it felt a little more stable than this.
I did not miss it at all.
I kind of missed it, you know? I don't know what's wrong with me. Maybe it's because, you know, my fandom started deep in the gutter of the banter era. I'm used to fighting. I'm used to being scared of Udinese every week. I don't know. Something about the Conte era, the high expectations there, the toxicity of Conte himself. I don't know. There were times where I kind of longed for, you know, the worry. But here we are, and I'm suffering.
Look. Merriam-Webster dictionary defines masochist as a person, I don't know what, who derives sexual gratification from being subjected to physical pain or humiliation.
Do so that's why Hristo has his OnlyFans.
Ah. So when we lose, he's doing that instead of this. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, he's profiting while we're just doing this for free.
That's how he's able to afford all the vacation.
Exactly, exactly.
I think we just exposed him live.
We'll have to get him to answer next episode.
No, but yet to get back to Inter, amazing games behind us, some amazing games ahead of us. The amazing performance against Milan. I think that was oof.
What is your definition of amazing?
Are
you amazed at like how bad it's been?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
I was. I'll be honest. I don't get angry during football anymore, but I was this close to breaking my mug during the Milan derby. I was ready to eat that shit out the window.
No, once that like, you know, I mean, we get the early goal, I'm like, all right, you know, this feels kind of good. After that, everything fell apart. It felt a lot like the Lazio game, you know, and it felt a lot like last season, like just waves of pressure coming at Inter, them bringing it upon themselves, mistakes that are uncharacteristic of some of the biggest players. I think the only person that really had a great performance in that match was Lautaro. And even then, I mean, outside of some hard work and, you know, that great hold up play for the goal, I thought even he looked, I mean, a little lost. But when you can't get the ball, yeah, of course, if you're a striker, you thrive on the ball.
But this team, Grinta, working hard, and you're praised. I mean, Lautaro, when was the last time Lautaro scored? Was it recent? I can't even remember.
Did he score against Cremonese?
Yeah.
Yeah, he scored against Cremonese.
And Lazio. All right, so he's been scoreless in three games.
Oh, we're not going to do this slander.
No. I like him. He's the only one showing at least any passion, or if you can call it passion. He's the only one fighting for the ball in the team. But like, when the whole team just basically goes brain dead, and only one guy is like actually running after the ball, you know, it's sort of a problem. And I think like there's been a recent trend in Inter games. I didn't watch the Cremonese match, I can't say for that, but like we hold possession and kind of try to do something for the first 10 to 15 minutes. And then it's just a downward slope of getting pressured on, you know, inviting the pressure, trying to do something and attack. Nothing seems to come, you know, no creativity, no nothing. It's, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there are these periods of just absolutely nothing from Inter. Uncle Sharma saying Lautaro was awful in the derby. He may have been. I may just be suffering from selective memory because it was that bad. I'm not going to go too hard at it. I mean, it was bad when Dzeko comes on and he's what gives Inter life. And we have this weird flip-flop going on right now with Correa and Dzeko, where whoever comes off the bench looks great, but whoever starts that match looks lost. And I don't know if that's – I'm not going to blame Inzaghi for that because he's just going – he's going with whoever looks the best. But there's somewhere in there, there's something going on where those two can't figure it out. I guess it's kind of a lot like last season. But this team really needs Lukaku back if they're going to do anything serious. I think we've seen that. I think even in the Bayern game, if you have Lukaku up top instead of a Dzeko, and he's bringing those balls down from Onana. I mean, we know Lukaku's first touch, but if he can get that down or someone else gets that ball down and he gets to run in behind, that's a really dangerous method of attack for Inter. I know you're the Handanovic man, the number one. You've got him on your wall. You've got him on your bed. I mean, I'm sure your pillowcases are just his shirts. But how did you feel about Onana first match?
All right, this is going to be a hot take. I'm prepared to take some heat for this. I thought everyone was overpraising him, was doing too much just because it's not Handanovic. And saying, oh, Handanovic won't get that. I mean, the ball literally went at him. And he grabbed it, like, on the floor. Like, and oh, my God, did you see what he did? Like, that was Inter Twitter, I assume, when I was reading Reddit.
Oh my God! Well, you're also reading Reddit. No disrespect to any Reddit, any Inter Reddit people that are listening. But yeah,
It was a live match, Fred. I was bored. The game was boring. No, it wasn't, because Ambrosio was captain. No, I think, all right, yeah, he showed some glimpses. I'll give him that, but I think Handanovic is still better. We saw against Torino. I mean, my man got punished by not playing the Bayern game, and bada bim, bada boom. How many saves was it against Torino? How many of them were good saves that he shouldn't get? It was 7 saves, according to Sofa. I mean, come on.
But how many of those also were at him? There were at least a couple that were at Handanovic as well.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
They both of them, to me, like the save for Onana where he tips it over the crossbar, or where he's diving low to his left. I think those two were, you know, semi good saves. I think Handanovic, I think he had about the same. I think there were a couple where you can maybe say, oh wow, like that is a good save, but a lot of them for both guys were saves that we're supposed to make, and that's how bad we're starving at the goalkeeping position, where it doesn't matter who it is, but if they make a decent save, like, we're having to have, you know, all this discourse because we haven't had consistent goalkeeping for a season now, at least, depending on who you talk to. It could be years back, depending on who you're talking to, who I'm talking to. There's never been a problem in goal. But yeah, Sharma.
I think Onana has the hype. Thank you, Sharma. Has the hype on his side and the visual appeal of doing acrobatic, flashy saves, like when he jumps to get the ball when Handanovic would catch it or just do this, you know? And then Onana would do fucking
right?
backflip like a cat, you know? I don't know. I thought, okay, yeah, it was a decent performance by him. I mean, Bayern still scored 2. The decision for him to run out for the first goal was a bit questionable on my end, because we sure as hell know Handanovic wouldn't rush out because he's too fucking lazy. But I don't know. Look, apparently management said that this one game, one goalkeeper, the other game with the other goalkeeper thing will not stick. So we're going to see what's going to happen. Will Onana become the goalkeeper?
I think we're going to see it for a little while. I think against Pulzen, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. I would ask your tongue on that one.
I don't know. I live 700 kilometers away.
Oh, okay. I know you're all far off, but you might have a better hint at it than me.
I'm sure it's Victoria Pulzen, but
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I just want confirmation, because my Southern American drawl can butcher a thing or two, a time or two. But I think we're gonna see Onana in that match. It's at home, which is good. I think he is, you know, I think that's the right way to start him out. Maybe not Bayern. I mean, I think anyone who you put in there is going to give up 2 to Bayern with the way Inter is playing right now. But if you're at home and this is the supposedly weakest team in the group, I hate saying that because we know how that goes. I think this is the best way to, you know, get his feet, you know, warm. I think it's going to be a good match for him. And I think we're going to see that a lot like Juve are doing, where Perrin is playing in the Champions League, plays in their Copa matches, and then Szczesny is, you know, in their league matches. I think we're going to see something like that until, you know, one impresses over the other, or this gradual phasing out of Handanovic that could be happening, you know, finishes. I don't know if that's even the case, because Inzaghi, he was pretty – he didn't give too much in that post-match after Bayern. Didn't really say much. Wasn't really impressed with anything Onana did. But, I mean, we know he's a boring company man, so that could just be, you know, his corporate speak. But I think we're going to see a good mix, and it's going to be something that we have to talk about on here about every week, because it's going to be one or the other until it is one or the other. But you know what? It'll make for some fodder. It'll be something to talk about. But I did enjoy Onana's distribution. I will give him that. I enjoyed the balls out of the back. Like I said, if they were to Lukaku, I think that's a real weapon. But just whoever starts, if they can just keep the ball in front of them, that'll be great. I mean, the defense is part of that. I don't think the back three has been up to scratch yet this season. De Vrij looked completely lost in the derby. Didn't look too great against – no, he didn't play against Bayern. That was Skriniar in the middle. But, yeah, I think there's still a balance that needs to be made in the back three. I will say I don't like DeMarco on the left side of the back three. I get what that role is, but if you have Bastoni, I don't know why you're starting him there. I know it's hard to keep his, you know, dead ball service out, but you still have Hakan there too. So I don't know. There's a lot of defensive stuff that I think needs to be worked out. This was a good first step. This is the first clean sheet of the year, no?
Spezia.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. So second clean sheet of the season. First one against a bit of a better team. You know, we know how Juric's teams are. I didn't think they were, you know, too terribly threatening in this match. But, yeah, what do you feel about the defense so far, now that we've had some losses here and there to, you know, really get some good and bad in there on them?
I think, like Fabian Delph said it in the City documentary on Amazon a couple of years ago, you need to stick to the basics, or whatever he said.
Or whatever he said.
I don't know, but it's like, it seems like the most simple and basic stuff just gets fucked up. You know, it's not like it's some kind of a killer through ball or something. It's like, again, let's say against Bayern, it's two defenders. I think it was, who was it? Was it D'Ambrosio and who was the right back? D'Ambrosio and Dumfries, I think, knowing who's going to get Sané in behind, you know, and they just let him go. Like,
also, neither of those guys could keep up with Sané at all.
No, that was a questionable decision to start both of them. I mean, I get what he was trying to do. Inzaghi, I think if my theory is correct, he was trying to do what Conte did with Godin and D'Ambrosio back when we made Europa League final, which is Godin is too slow. D'Ambrosio is there to help him, not really to attack forward, you know, so like they both defend, but like in this situation it wasn't really it didn't really pay off. But yeah, I just think it's like back to the basics, you know, just with markers getting confused, lost, balls in behind, you know, questionable goalkeeping on both goalkeepers' parts. And then, yeah, when it comes to attack, I think we know what we can say about the attack and midfield this season.
Yeah, the attack's going to be what the attack's going to be. When you have Lukaku, you know, it's going to take a step up. The midfield, for me, I thought had an improved game towards the end. I mean, they still look lost for 70 minutes. I don't know what's going on there. I know Brozovic and Barella kind of saved themselves with the goal and the assist late, but like we've said earlier, like there's something where this team just can't build up play. And it's very, very concerning because that was a strength of this team last season. I mean, Çalhanoğlu looked better than Milan Çalhanoğlu. Now he kind of looks like that guy again. Brozovic, we know what Brozovic is. Barella, I still don't think he fully has his head on straight. I think sometimes he can just, you know, get frustrated, take himself out, put himself in his head. Dumfries looked to step off after being, you know, one of the big threats early in the season. I didn't think he looked too great against Torino. But how do you feel about Darmian on the left? I'm still not a big fan of that, but it seems with whatever Inzaghi thinks of Gosens that we're going to continue to see Darmian on the left.
I think Darmian against Torino did what we really expected a guy like Darmian to do against Torino, you know, win his man duels, and that's pretty much it. You know, I don't think he offered that much in attack. I could be wrong. I honestly can't remember that well, what he did in attack. Maybe that's part of it, you know, but I think as a whole, the team is lost in attack. But yeah, I mean, Darmian on the left was, when I saw the team sheet, that was really questionable. I was like, what is this man doing? Is he like trying to get fired as soon as possible, get the compensation money? But like in the end, I think it kind of worked out, you know, to help.
Dave.
What's up, fellas?
What's up? What's up? Good to have you back. New kit, new drip.
Hey, man, you know, it came right on time, too, after Barella had an assist for us yesterday and then came in the mail. So perfect timing. What's up, Ian? I see Mikey with the clean shade, but he kept the porn stash. Okay.
Ooh-wee. Yeah.
If you say Mikey porn stash three times, Lord Vigo will show up in the chat, apparently.
Nah. Those days are over. No, but we were just talking. We've been talking recently, I guess, to get you up to speed. Darmian on the left is a left wing back option. How have you felt about it?
I don't like it personally. I'll come out and say straight up, I don't like it, but I understand it's been more of a necessity type of thing. It seems like Gosens, he's been struggling to pretty much get his confidence back, and he doesn't seem to have Inzaghi's trust, because I thought after the Champions League, he got the start against Bayern. He was decent. I thought he would probably get the start against Torino to just give him a little more continuation, but he went right back to Darmian. And funny thing is, once things got a little tough towards the end and we needed a goal, what he did was he brought on DeMarco. He rather switched Darmian to the right, he did, and then he brought on DeMarco to play left wing back. And he didn't bring on Gosens till probably the 85th minute. So that's a clear sign of lack of confidence, or at least it was just like a desperation move. Like, okay, you know what? Let me just throw you in. Maybe you could win a header or something. In a perfect world, it would be Gosens full-time starter and DeMarco just spelling with him, because I don't even like Darmian on the left at all. He's not a natural left footer. Sometimes you could tell he thinks before he uses the left. But yeah, my long-winded answer, I don't like it, but I do understand why we're doing it. Kind of like last year when Darmian was the starter on the right, while Dumfries took a couple months to pretty much get into the groove and learn the system. What do you guys think?
I agree. That was kind of where I was going to go. I mean, I get it, but he's not left-footed, so every time he brings in the ball, he's got his back to his man, so you can't break. There's no verticality. There's no speed.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like we play a vertical game anyway, but
anyway,
I don't know. I don't like it. I had set Ian up. We interrupted you, Ian. I'm sorry. We'll get back to yours because, yeah, I was just trying to set it up to complain about Darmian on the left. I love him on the right. I think he's a really smart option, but on the left, no, I don't like him.
No, I don't like it. Mm-mm.
I think he was there just to help DeMarco in defense, because we know what kind of, I won't say liability, but like how lackluster he is in that department. I think that was like the main reasoning. You know, if you're going to start him and not like an actual center back instead of DeMarco, just bring on someone that can defend. And like you two said, while Gosens is still trying to adjust and find himself again, like that Atlanta Gosens that would bring you 10 goals and 10 assists season, you know, if better to play it safe.
But talking about the left, where is Bastoni right now? Well, that guy's been banished to the shadow realm because he's not getting, you know, too many starts, at least in the league. And I don't know, that's concerning for me because, I mean, he's still a, 21, 22-year-old guy. Like, if you want him to continue to develop, he needs to continue
to play.
You got to
keep playing him. Yeah. No, I don't think that him not playing continually the past couple of weeks have anything to do with his performance. Well, I'm not going to say it has anything to do with his performance. I'm not going to say it's fully because of his performances. I believe before the Milan match, all leading up to that match, that whole week he had the flu or something like that. And they were saying that he wasn't even supposed to be playing. It was DeMarco up until the day of, I believe. So I guess for the Milan Derby, me being the guy always giving guys passes, I'll give him that pass. Maybe he was a little under the weather. He certainly looked it on that third goal by Leao. He looked like a guy that was just there like a passenger in the match. There was no he had no presence at all. But I think that maybe DeMarco starting against Torino was sort of like a punishment slash, okay, I'm just giving him some time to get well. But going forward, yeah, I definitely need to see him as one of the first names in the starting 11. Well, I'll go even further. I need that starting three, the three-man defense, even if DeVry is not in form either. I need him, Skriniar, and Bastoni to start playing more and more matches together, because I believe that's how they're gelling and fix the defensive issues that we've had.
Yeah, you know, I kind of liked what we did in the Champions League, where D'Ambrosio was one of the center backs and Skriniar moved to the middle. I actually kind of like that. I think if you do Bastoni, Skriniar, and D'Ambrosio, I think that can get you somewhere. Maybe that's just me, but I do want to get De Vrij out of the starting 11 as soon as possible. I'm really not a big fan. I think he's, you know, he's verging on finished, if not already there. I don't know if it's something physical, if it's something mental, but he's made small steps. But I don't see him getting back to what he was when he won best defender in the league. He was the most reliable of the three that we had, and him coming into the middle instead of Godin, I mean, that was a godsend.
Yeah.
I just think he's far from that now.
Praise the Lord that we already have his replacement on the bench.
Which one?
He came from Lazio on a loan with an option to buy or whatever it is. Praise
I don't
the
think
Lord.
He's going to be that bad.
Left foot of a god.
I mean, given how the defense, I mean, how our defense has started, Acerbi doesn't really have much of a high bar to reach now. Now that he's coming into the squad, you know, it's more of a don't fuck up and you're a hero type of thing right now. Looking at how, well, even, I mean, guys, let's be fair. Even Skriniar, he hasn't looked his best, you know, against Torino yesterday. One of the best chances that they created was because Skriniar was doing some slide and he missed it, and the guy pretty much dribbled. He's looked a little bit off pace. I don't know, man. It's funny that we're doing this podcast in the moment. I wonder if it was the same like last year or the year before even, because we, for some reason, looking at our schedules, we've always been slow starters. You know, I think, Mikey, I think you mentioned that in one of the spaces, and I did pay attention to that. That's a very good shout. Yeah, it seems like we've always been slow starters. I don't know if that's what we're seeing right now. You know, like a lot of guys, we're trying to read what we're seeing, if it's just Inzaghi being a guy regressing like it looked like, or is it the players are disinterested? Because some guys have even already accused them of losing the players, which I think is arsenine. But at the end of the day, I guess we just got to wait and see with this run of matches. We already scrapped the match against a win against Torino. I don't want to say it, but the match against Victoria on Tuesday, it's a match that we should win as well. So let's continue the wins, and then Udinese, because I just saw them today. They're going to be probably our toughest test in the season so far. No disrespect to Milan, because they're in blistering form. I thought they were going to lose to Sassuolo earlier, and then they just did a late comeback. So, yeah, we have some tough games coming up. But if we still manage, we just beat Torino. If we beat Vittoria on Friday and we beat Udinese on Sunday, it's suddenly a good little run of form. And I think we got an international break after that. So all of a sudden, we're going to be feeling good about ourselves, because we're going to be in international breaks, three matches on the bounce, Lukaku coming back into the squad, you know, so, stuff like that. So I feel like if we can just hang on and get those two next wins, we should be fine.
Yeah. Udinese, a noon kickoff at Udinese on a Sunday before an international break. That just sounds like a script.
Drop points, yeah.
Yeah, that's a script like written points. For the past decade where that's dropped points. One of the only matches I can remember recently that kind of was that setting and a win was the Rafinha little bit era 2018. I think we won an early match in Udine. Rafinha and Icardi show. But I don't think we played them early since then. I worry about that match. But if you can get points there, I agree. If you beat Victoria Pilsen and then you beat Udinese, who have been strong this season, I think that gives you good momentum to bring Lukaku back. Then you play Roma, Barcelona, Sassuolo, which won't be easy. And then Barcelona again, because that's that back-to-back. It's going to be a tough little stretch. And I'm glad Lukaku, maybe he's getting his knocks out of the way early, because we're going to need that guy. They're really looking forward. Milan, did they get the win? Yeah, they got the win.
Against Sampdoria yesterday, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, a lot of teams are taking care of who they're supposed to, even though I think everybody's had their slip-ups so far this season. Getting on a roll would be huge right now, because you really need to start picking up some points in Serie A. Because it's going to be, I think this is, it's kind of a cliche for everyone who talks about football right now, but like it's going to be a tale of two seasons, because you're going to have this section, World Cup, then the rest of your season.
Yeah.
And who knows what's going to happen there. You don't know who could have an injury. I mean, so many unexpected things happen in international tournaments. Look at what happened with Eriksen. I mean, that's nobody's fault. But that if that would have happened mid-season, that's your season gone. Like, luckily, like, I mean, that was the summer where you can go and you can bring in Hakan, who gives you a good season the next year. But who knows who gets injured for who, or who, you know, doesn't come back fit. Because even the Croatians, when they came back from that World Cup in 2018, they were a step off for a while, and they still had weeks of recovery between. There's going to be no recovery time. If you make it to the World Cup final, you're going to be gassed when you come back to your club. And, of course, I mean, one of the favorites is Argentina. Lautaro could be there. Correa. I mean, Correa's probably going to ride the bench. But
I think that's a very good point. And even further, looking at our starting 11 or even our squad in general, we have a lot of guys going to the World Cup. I was comparing our squad to Milan's earlier this week, and realized that Milan have a lot of young guys that if they do go to the World Cup, they're probably not expected to be starters. Also, it's not going to be an issue. Like Leao, for example, he's not a starter for Portugal. Theo Hernandez, their best player, he's not a starter for France. You know, Giroud, he's not a starter. You know, I'm not sure who on their team is even going to be playing a major role in the World Cup. I don't think they have any. Mike Maignan, he's a backup. Tomori, if he even gets a call up. Kalulu doesn't get called up. Calabria is Italian, so he's not going anywhere. You know, now that I just mentioned it, I don't think Milan have any players that are expected to be playing a big part in their
I guess Dest, but that doesn't really matter. I mean, that's
the
they're not going deep. I mean, that's my country, but they're not going deep. Looking at their squad,
he's not even a starter for them anyway, you know.
Yeah. What about Bakayoko? I mean, he's already a sub anyway. Tonali.
Did they keep him? Because I remember they were trying to get rid of him.
Yeah, he's still there. He was on the bench yesterday. De Ketelaere, I don't think he plays he doesn't play Belgium. For Belgium. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, how are you going to get in that Belgium midfield? Yeah, that's a scary thing.
Yeah, meanwhile, if we want to compare it to ours, we have Lukaku that's going to be playing a main role. Lautaro is going to be running around all over the place for Messi.
Dumfries,
big role. Brozovic, Hakan's not going anywhere. I don't know
if Gosens is going to. Skriniar, Slovenia make it. That's slim on that. De Vrij will go. I mean, who knows what that's going to be.
I mean, up until now, he's been the Dutch manager's preference over De Ligt, you know, and De Ligt's not even doing that much better. And in Germany, I saw yesterday, he apparently got cooked in the German league. So I think De Vrij's probably going to be the starter along with Van Dijk. So, out of our starting 11, how many did we just name? Six players? Seven
one,
at least?
Two, three, four, five.
And if you count Correa on the bench, so that's six players that we're going to have going to the World Cup.
Yeah. Gosens, I guess, will go with Germany. He featured pretty heavily with the Germans in the Euros.
Well, but they didn't call him recently. They didn't call him for their Nations League, whatever. So I guess that's a warning shot that he needs to be playing so he can get back into the side. But yeah, I guess that's one of the curses of having those players. Like, yeah, we have world-renowned players. Hey, now all the players are pretty much going to be going to the World Cup, and they're probably going to be halfway dead by the time they come back. It sucks that we may have to root against them to make sure they don't go too far into the World Cup. But I think Lautaro and Lukaku got a very, very good chance of going pretty far in the tournament, personally.
Yeah, yeah.
Argentina final, just because we said it now.
Yeah.
Hey, we know. I don't know if that streak was broken. I don't think it was broken last World Cup. No, it wasn't, because we have
Brazil and
Paris yet. But we've had a player in every World Cup final since, I think, 1982. Or 86 World Cup. So
yeah, it's the we're on that run. It's us and Bayern that have a player in every single World Cup.
Every final,
right? Yeah, every World Cup final. I love that streak. Honestly, like, I hope it continues. I still think, even through the banter era, having players that make it, you know, it's a testament to the club. Like, this is a big club.
For sure. For sure.
Risto says he's gonna be back for episode 100. That's next episode. He says he's gonna be back next week. He says he's on holiday. Yeah, we covered that. He goes on holiday more than a billionaire.
But... yeah, I know. I mean, maybe Risto should buy the club. Like, he seems like he has the money for it, because he's traveling all the time.
We have some Risto thoughts. He's probably drunk on a beach somewhere. He says Onana
in
was
Greece, right?
Yeah, in Greece again. Onana was decent. We've been derived a good saves for the past 10 years. That runs pretty counter to what Ian was just saying. Yeah, Ian took his victory lap already before anyone else was on. So everyone has been spared.
He couldn't help himself. But yeah, Ian, I can't say anything. Yesterday, your boy Handanovic, your countryman, he reacted very well, you know, and we saw flashes of the player that he had been for Inter for most of his career, until he fell off the cliff the last two seasons. But as for Onana, I feel like Onana he did very well. Like Risto said, he did very well in the Champions League. We conceded two goals that I feel like we would have conceded with whoever in the goal. But maybe seeing Onana put in that performance kind of lit a fire under his ass, and we saw he was even more vocal to his defense yesterday. Hey, me personally, I've been very vocal. I'm like, Onana in. I want Onana starting all matches. He's the future. Handanovic is on his way down. But if Handanovic is pretty much clinging on to his spot with performances like these, we're only going to benefit from it. So, hey, so be it. I'll wait to see Onana as our number one.
Look. Poke the dragon, and this is what you get. I mean, come on.
Well, I mean, being vocal,
is that how the saying goes?
Man of the match.
That's how Ian's saying goes.
I think that's a Lord of the Rings. I mean, that's a Game of Thrones saying.
Look, the saves were amazing. Sure or not, I would have gotten some, but still. Handanovic the GOAT, in my eyes anyway. In my eyes, I'm the only one that matters. So.
Well, since you're in that mood, I might as well give you a little bit more of your flowers, because D'Ambrosio was decent against Bayern, although he scored an own goal. You know, so
look,
I don't know how you feel about that. Wow, you see how he is, Mikey? He doesn't care if his boy scores against us, as long as his boy scores.
All I'll say is, when we were playing football in the morning, for me, 12, 13 hours ago, I scored a goal. It doesn't matter which end that it went in. I scored the goal. So
Christo,
you know,
says dragons die in the end, Ian. I don't know. Spoiler alert.
And Macedonians still visit Greece. How about that?
Oh, Lord. But... Risto says he would not invest in Inter. Segway, thank you all the way from Greece, Risto. It has come out that supposedly Suning have given the green light for seller or buyers to be found for Inter. But the only link we've seen is the owner of the Sacramento Kings, which nobody wants to be the Sacramento Kings. Nobody in any sport wants to be the Sacramento Kings. So...
Look, Sorry to cut you off. I have an interesting tidbit on this, right? The last time Sacramento Kings were decent was in the 50s when the King was still the head of England.
No, they were good in like the 90s, right? Stockton and...
No, I mean, they were good.
The last time they were good in the 50s. All right. It was in the 50s. Now that the Queen has moved on to greener pastures, the Sacramento Kings will be back in NBA title contention. And if their owner wants to invest in Inter, I am not fussed.
In the 1950s, the Sacramento Kings were the Rochester Royals.
Yeah, I'm personally fussed because the last time I personally remember them being competitive was probably 03, 04 when they had Chris Webber and them guys. I'm not sure how much you guys are into the NBA, but
Vlade Divac.
Yeah, Chris Webber, Peja Stojnakovic.
I remember playing with that team on like PS1, like NBA Live.
That was their last good team. That was 20 years ago. And I don't know. I think since the NBA is kind of structured differently from, I guess, the football world, because he can be the Sacramento Kings owner and be racking up profit every year. It's a profitable business no matter how much they suck, you know, just because that's how the NBA is structured. But Inter, well, football in general, I don't know if you could just come in and buy Inter and expect to make money off of it or anything like that. It's got to be something that you're willing to pump money into. And from my understanding, he's not that kind of guy. He's not a billionaire even, right? So I don't know. I'd much rather somebody that's loaded, that we know could just pump money into the team, not a guy that's almost a billionaire that could head a group of almost billionaires to put together to buy the team, if you know what I mean. On one end, it seems like we all have that feeling that as long as Suning leaves, whoever comes in is going to be better. I'm kind of on the fence about that. I don't necessarily believe it's the case, but I'm glad that it does seem that we are going to be sold soon and that now we're starting to see names pop up. I'm just not too enchanted by the first name that's popped up so far, if I must admit.
Yeah, I mean, it won't be the first, it is the first, Jesus Christ. It won't be the last. It's the first,
hopefully,
but it won't be the last. But consortiums buying teams of any sport, football clubs, you know, Major League Baseball teams, any sport. I mean, the it's become in vogue to have a consortium. I mean, look at the LA Dodgers, and I know that Boley, who is part of that group, is the part of the group that, of course, has bought Chelsea now. So, I mean, this is kind of the way that like ownership is going. I mean, it's not great, but unless you're going to run into one of these investors that, you know, has gobs of money the way that Suning did pre-pandemic, I think you're going to see a consortium like that. Well, hopefully it's not them, but or whoever else is with what's his face from Sacramento, but
yeah,
I guess we'll see. It's going to be interesting. I know Milan are also up for new ownership still, ? I don't know how all of their ownership shit went. I thought it kind of went downhill at one point.
From my understanding, that went through. Okay. It's now fully owned by Jerry Cardinale and Redbird. I hope I pronounced it right. But I just realized Juve are losing to Salernitana, so it might turn out to be a good day in Haterville after all, right?
Yeah, I think Candreva scored.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Ooh, uno de noi.
Look, all I'm going to say is I'm looking forward to the Sacramento Kings x Inter x Montclair collaborations that are going to happen.
If they give us like the 90s like Kings like aesthetic, I mean, but they're purple and black and we're
Look, the only owner that we need is Jeannie Buss from the Lakers, and I'm all in for the purple and gold.
Have you seen the Lakers in the past 10 years?
Yeah, this guy's just dropping Lakers names at this point. Yeah, they've been a dumpster fire.
He's going to bring his Lakers sweater back out.
That's what it is. But I don't know, man. I'm really, really on the fence about this guy because on one end, again, like, it doesn't make sense for him to just come in and buy the club and just not do anything, you know, because just the way the system is, the Italian system, the Italian football system is just not profitable. We're running out of all those big clubs are running out of deficit, you know, so you already know going forward, you're not buying a profitable asset. So it really interests me what his plans would be for Inter. I understand why you would be interested in buying Chelsea. This is a Premier League franchise. It's a cash cow. But once you're telling me you're interested in buying a club in Italy, even Milan, although they're more valuable than us, you ask yourself why or what's the plan. You know, we don't have our stadium situation situated yet. We're like, why? It kind of seems like you're willing to buy the club and just dump money into.
But the stadium, I think they got another win yesterday. I think that news
I read that
mid-match that it got a green light for the next step. But there's like 47,000 steps in the Italian city legal judicial whatever system.
What I understand, I think the mayor's office approved the project. But now there will be a public discussion about it. I think it's more like a
referendum type.
Kind of, yeah.
Okay.
Like so now nobody really knows if it's gonna go through or not. You know, I mean, I like democracy. It seems like it's really about the people. They're gonna get the final say. But
I think we'll be fine then, because it's still a joint project. So I mean, if it's a joint project, then
fans of both teams will probably want to make it happen. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. If it's going to benefit both teams, I think the fans of both teams may see that. I hope. I know not everyone in Milan cares about football, but a lot of Milan cares about football. So I'm hoping that, like, you know, everyone sees that, oh, our clubs can own their own stadium, which is a step in them becoming two of the biggest in the world again. I mean, that's also good for the city of Milan. I sound like one of these fucking, American owners that gets the city to pay for three quarters of a $3 billion stadium. But I do ahead.
I'm sorry. That was going to be my next question. I'm ashamed. I need to know much more about this situation. I know for sure, being a New York Giants fan, I remember about 10 years ago when we were trying to build our stadium, the new MetLife Stadium. It was a whole issue because at the end of the day, it's like it was going to be taxpayers' money that pays for the majority of it, you know. So people were like, "No, we ain't trying to pay more taxes and all that stuff." So that's what the public debate was kind of against it. So they had to lobby a lot to make it go through. I don't know if is that the same plan, or I believe we're going to be. I mean, us in Milan. We would be paying for the stadium out of our own pockets.
Yeah, I thought the clubs were footing the bill. I mean, I am not an expert, but I thought the clubs were footing the bill. I think the public footing the bill thing is a very American sports thing. I don't think that's really the case in Europe. I don't know if Ian can attest to that.
Yeah.
Yes, no, baby. Deer in headlights.
Ian, you're not frozen.
Ian, who pays for stadiums? Who pays for stadiums in Europe?
Major stadiums in Europe.
Yeah, like if
I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. What was going on?
No, we were just trying to figure out, because you know the U.S. a lot of stadium projects are publicly funded, so you know it comes out of taxpayer budgets.
The club that does most of the financing, unless it's also used by the city. Like, I know West Ham lease it from London.
Yeah, but they bought that as an Olympic stadium.
Yeah.
No, not that we're discussing it. I'm starting to believe it. Sorry to cut you off, Ian. I remember vividly Tottenham. They couldn't spend for what, 2-3 years because of the cost of their stadium. So yeah, now I understand. I remember now.
It's straight out of the club, the money. I mean, you can take out loans, but...
Yeah, this is why I think the project is so strong for Inter and Milan. That's two clubs building the stadium. So, like, you don't get too much of the, you know, the Tottenham issue where it's one club footing the bill for the stadium. I think if you have two, I mean, they seem to both still be in step about it. I thought there was a little bit of a diversion somewhere.
As far as I know, no, we're all on the same page. I believe I was listening to Nima's podcast, and he mentioned that Malay and Enter, they even created a corporation together 50-50 for the reason of actually building the stadium, you know. So that means that it seems like we're on the same page. Last summer when Malay were getting sold, and then we were still in limbo, I'm sure we all seen the stories of, yeah, Milan are gonna, they're gonna do their own thing without Inter, you know, stuff like that. That was a little worrying given our financial situation. But now we seem to be in step, and hopefully it does go through. I think that's gonna have a major effect on the sale rumors as well. Once that goes through, I think serious buyers are gonna start lining up.
Yeah, that's the only way I think that an Italian club can look appealing to any investor. I don't think there's anyone in Italy that's going to buy Inter. I don't see any kind of like 50 plus one type thing coming in. I know there was like Inter SPAC or whatever it was that somebody tried to run, but probably just started a GoFundMe and then took all the cash or something. I don't know. But I mean, we see the issues that Comiso at Fiorentina is going through trying to get something done with that stadium. We saw, was it the Friedkins, or did the Friedkins own Roma now? Whoever it was that owned Roma, basically, Friedkins, just, yeah, they quit on the club because.
It wasn't them. It was Palota, the one.
And now it's the Friedkins.
James Palota, yeah. Now it's the Friedkins. Yeah, that guy. That's one thing I enjoyed about Palota. Well, I guess that's kind of the Italian-American owners in the league, because Comiso was kind of the same way. Palota was the kind of guy who he would come out and tell you exactly what's going on. Like, hey, I've done everything I could, blah, blah. Now the bureaucracy is this, is that. They're giving me a hard time, so fuck it. That's pretty much what he said. You know, like, I invested this amount in the club. I invested that amount. I can't even get a stadium built because of bullshit politics, so fuck it. I'm out. You know? I don't know. Hopefully it does go through, man. Hopefully, because I'm tired. I'm sure you guys are as well. I'm tired of every summer where we have to start being like guys that decide, okay, you know what, which of my favorite toys would I much rather lose? Which one of my favorite toys do I love the least? You know? So
do you think that's part of the issue right now with you know, the players seeming a little off? Do you think part of it is all of them had their bags halfway packed? Like Skriniar coming in late. I mean, it was because of injury, yeah. But also, I mean, he was definitely, you know, wrapped up in all this PSG stuff. He was saying no, but I mean, he still had to have a contingency plan if the club gave him no option.
Yeah, I believe he wasn't all in, because like, it was reported for months that they already had an agreement, you know, and it seems like maybe we had a talk with him, tell him, hey, listen, we need the money, as you know, and if the right offer comes, we're going to have to sell you. And he didn't push back anymore, because that's a team that, as you can see, is probably going to, well, it's one of the favorites for winning the Champions League. They're having fun in the French League. So that would be a good vacation for Skriniar, you know. But I'm glad he's with us. Hopefully, I'm not going to lie, as confident as I am about his love for the club or whatnot, hopefully it doesn't end up a situation where PSG offering something we can't match and he ends up still leaving for free next summer. That part would hurt a lot, even more than selling him, in my opinion. So hopefully we can do the extension, because Marotta said he's confident it's going to happen. So let's trust him, Pepe.
Yeah, I'm really hoping we get that extension done. I think that would help a lot. I think some signals need to be sent to the players that they're still going to be invested in. Because, I mean, it's still no small feat that all these guys stayed. And, I mean, Bastoni came out. Skriniar has come out plenty of times. I think if there's some hope, you know, reciprocated into the team, that would go a long ways into getting everyone's heads on straight. I know there was a meeting. Was it after Bayern or after the Derby that they were supposed to
be? Oh, after Bayern. So right before the last match, Torino match. I'm glad you brought it up. I think that was definitely needed. You know, clearing the air. All levels of management were there. I think Zhang wasn't there, but Beppe and Auxilio was there. Inzaghi, the players, everybody pretty much cleared the air, had an open powwow. And they said that Handanovic spoke, Barella spoke. I love seeing stuff like that, because if that doesn't happen, or if we just keep going about our business, maybe it's true that guys don't care, or they're just going through the motions. Feeling that they needed to do something to right the ship right away, it tells you that they're still into it. And I'm glad it was that, and we didn't end up having to go to a retiro or some shit like that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we saw, plenty of times in the Icardi era where you'd get to this point and there may be a meeting, but it's an absolute meltdown. And the sects in the dressing room where you have, you know, one group, another group, and it's just, you know, a divided dressing room. I don't see that here, which is good. I mean, don't get me wrong. You don't want to get to the point of having that meeting like we've had, but it can only help. I mean, it can't hurt. At least no, with for sure. The club the way it is right now. But, yeah. I mean, we got to win. Dave, I don't think we got your thoughts on the Torino match. Me and Ian, I think we led on that a little bit in the beginning, but there's been so much to cover that we've been kind of bouncing around.
Bouncing.
Yeah, but Torino match, your thoughts? And then I want to get to a poll that I put on the Twitter after that.
Okay. The Torino match, I feel like a lot of people from the reactions I've seen on Twitter, we're kind of underestimating Torino. Don't get me wrong, we didn't look our best for the first 60 minutes of the match. We didn't get our first shot on target till the 65th minute, you know, so that tells you that at times we didn't look the best. Torino seemed to be very well prepared, very well drilled. They knew exactly what we were trying to do. I'm sure you guys remember at some point Skriniar and De Vrij was passing the ball between the two of them. The crowd was booing and stuff. You could tell that we couldn't even move forward because they were just that well prepared. They were pressing at the right times. They were stopping Brozo from receiving the ball, you know, but nothing surprising because we've all been speaking of Juric as one of the top managers in the league. So that's what we would have expected. I like the fact that we made the substitutions and we saw the impact right away. We saw the intensity ratchet up as soon as Mkhitaryan and who else did he throw in? Mkhitaryan and Correa.
Yeah, the first subs, because I give credit to Inzaghi. I mean, I don't think he got it right to begin with, but his subs were very on point. His first subs were Correa for Dzeko and Bastoni for Dumfries.
Yes.
Yeah, 68th minute. That's where I kind of thought that things were starting to change.
I agree. I thought it was a Mkhitaryan. Mkhitaryan probably came in the next sub, but I agree. I feel like once he made those first subs, who was it? Like you said, Bastoni came on, allowing DeMarco to push further forward as left wing back. We weren't getting much from Darmian that game. And who else? He brought in Correa, I think.
Belanova.
Yeah, Fateco. Yeah, Belanova came in a little later. So his subs, in my opinion, they had an impact. The kid, you could tell, like, he's not a Dumfries. He's looking to take on his man. And he kind of had the license yesterday because they were giving him the ball. Like, okay, make something happen. But all in all, I feel like it was, if I had to rate the match, probably a 7 I'd give out of 10 because we needed it. It was a worthy opponent. And Inzaghi showed me personally things that I wanted to see, which is changes when you needed to make them and impact changes, you know. So that's my thought.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to start out flat, I mean, I touched on it earlier as well that Juric wasn't – well, I'm touching on that now, but Juric wasn't actually – did he get – he must have got a red card in the last match because
he was assistant.
But still, a Juric team, whether it's his assistant out there or it's him, I mean, they're well-drilled. They've got some good players this season. Lukic is a good player. I like Sanabria as a striker, honestly. Vlasic had a good match. Lazaro starting fucking terrified me. I thought this dude was gonna turn it on. Caramo on the bench, I thought maybe throwing him on there. I don't know why Olaina and Sino didn't get playing time.
Single came on late. I mean, I'm not complaining about that.
Yeah.
But who was their starting right wing back though? Because although Single didn't start, I didn't feel.
Yeah,
like
it was Lazaro.
Lazaro. Okay.
Voivoda, or however you pronounce his name, is on the left.
On the left. Okay. No. Torino are definitely a good squad. That's a team that we need to definitely put respect on. Kind of like Udinese that I'm talking about. It's a team that's looking very, very well drilled. Udinese is more surprising to me because Juric we kind of know, but with Sotil is kind of taking the league by storm early. And those guys are on a 5-match winning streak, and they've beaten like some worthy opponents. They gave Roma that 4-0. I think they beat Atalanta as well, you know. So yeah, it's gonna be a match that I'd be happy if we it's at Udine, right?
No, it's at it is. Actually.
It's at Udine. I'd be happy.
Ian, are you going to this one? You went to Udine last season, right?
I wish I could have gone. I really wish, but too many stuff happening at once. I am pleased to announce mm-hmm. that I am looking for partners to go to game week 5 and 6 of the Champions League.
So that's the last two matches?
I think so. Yeah, so end of October, start of
November.
That'll
be...
By then, we will be deciding. Yeah. By then, we'll be throwing matches so it could finish fourth. So I don't know how interesting those matches are going to be.
Look, go to Munich for beer, first of all, for the Bratwurst.
Well, it'll be October, right? No, it'll be past October.
Oh, yeah.
It's November, I think.
October says.
Yeah.
Dude, I didn't even think of that.
Man, we could have lost Ian for good, bro. You would have never made it back.
I might have to go in the end of October to Munich and then just extend my stay to until the game.
It might be a plan, I was thinking yesterday during the match that Torino is always a good watermark benchmark for Inter. Like it's almost like the Torino test. If you're struggling to beat Torino, if you draw with them or you lose to them, I mean, those are the seasons. I mean, I remember under Spalletti, we lost to them at home. Away is always tricky. Even before then, I remember the usual season ender was drawing or losing away to Torino.
Yeah.
So if you can get past Torino, it's usually it bodes well for your season. It means because they're always solidly mid-table, you know, they're usually a prickly side. If you can get past them, you're usually, you know, you're doing all right. And if you have problems with Torino, you're having issues with your season.
I don't know why, but I just see Udinese as so much like Torino.
I see them as more, honestly.
You think so?
This Udinese?
I mean, currently, yeah, I'd give you that. Currently, they're definitely a more dangerous side. They look exciting. They're beating teams with four goals, stuff like that. But I feel like at the end of the day, I would expect Juric to be ahead of Udinese. That's probably why I feel like they're equals in general. But they both run the same formation, 3-4-1-2 or 3-4-2-1, I believe. It's going to be the same kind of challenge, in my opinion. Physical side that can match us, and that's going to be well drilled. So the more I think about it, the more worried I am about that match. So hopefully we can walk all over Victoria on Tuesday so we can be well prepared and ready for Udinese, because that's going to be a tough one.
Yeah, I mean, Udinese, you have Udoji on the left. I mean, interlinked, which never helps. He's now a Conte, product. He's going to be there next season, likelihood, because he's had a great start to the season. De La Feu, we know who he is. I mean, he's very fast. That could be a problem for our back line. Isaac Success has had some decent matches. Of course, we know Beto. That guy, he's not the most aesthetically pleasing, but I mean, he's a goal scorer.
He seems to be effective, yeah.
Yeah.
If you ask David on Twitter, he's the best player in the world again.
Yeah. Our guy, David McFarland, I mean, this is his team.
He has a Beto guy, yeah. I mean, he's definitely a Beto guy.
Yeah, Bacal's been good for them in defense. Silvestri's a decent goalkeeper. That's a tough one. We'll see what happens. But yeah, is there anything else you guys want to cover? We didn't really get any questions today.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. If we want to scan the comments, I see too much Risto, so I really don't want
to. I did see Gio here saying he was going to be watching the UCL game in class. I actually watched, I think it was Cremonese. I watched at work, and I was getting – it was the first time I've watched the match at work, and everyone was very confused. I got a lot of looks, but, I mean, you got to do what you got to do. I was still.
Were you at your desk with your TV?
I had laptop over here. I had everything, you know, all my work stuff. And then I had phone propped up with the match on. But I was still productive. I was doing what I had to do.
Yeah, so nobody could tell you anything.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. No one can really tell me anything. My boss wasn't there. So watch my match. No shame. No shame in that.
But I can't do it. I did that a lot last year, like watching UCL matches in class, because usually I'm in class on Wednesday or Tuesday afternoons, 2 p.m., 3 p.m., around that time. In America, that's around the time the matches are. So I can't do it, because like, I find myself, I can't focus in class. I'm having reactions and stuff.
Oh,
I have,
yeah.
Like, guys have to look at me like, what's wrong with you?
Throwing shit.
I really have to be at home. Like, I don't even like when my fiance is here, like when I'm watching the game. Like, it's,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's straight prime. It's primal Dave. Like, what the fuck are you doing?
No, I get the same things. Yeah, when my girlfriend's home, I feel bad. I have to really try to tone it down, because she'll be like, "It's just a game," and I'm like, "You don't get it."
But then, yes.
Like, afterwards, I'm like, "Yeah, I know, bro, I look like an idiot, but
bro, you don't get it, bro." Happen. Like, yeah, the worst thing is when Inter are losing, right? And then my fiance walks by, she sees it on my face, she looks up the score, and then she wants to say something like, "I'm sure they'll come back anyway," or something like that. Like, just
hey, at least you get that. Yeah.
No, but sometimes you can tell she's just patronizing me to make me feel better, because I'm telling you, this team, it just ruins my mood. Like, oh, I'm sure they'll come back. But yeah, I wanted to check the comments. I see Risto took over. Oh, Sharma. I don't know if we gave him a shout out. Shout out to Sharma. He was on the Inter official Twitch. I missed that, but it's so cool, man, seeing one of us really make it to get in contact with the club itself. It's the direct contact with the club. I think to me that's pretty neat, and it could have happened to a nicer guy, you know. Although ever since he made it to Twitch, he's been defending the club. I can't criticize Inzaghi anymore. I can't criticize players. He's become a company man. But congrats, Sharma. We're proud of you, bro. Of course. I'm proud of you, Sharma.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, shout out to Sharma. I made sure to put a spot on the BOTW Twitter, which if you don't follow, at BOTW Pod, I'm doing Ian's bit. But yeah, I mean, really cool. I also missed it. It was middle of the day. I was at work. But really awesome. Like you said, couldn't have happened to a better guy. We got to get him on here soon to talk about maybe some behind the scenes of how all that happened. I think that'd be a cool conversation.
U of A just gave up a penalty. Bremer.
Oh, no.
It might be down 2-0. All right, let's not log off until I see the result.
All right, yeah. So I think that's pretty much everything. I think we got to everyone in the comments. The comments are pretty slack. Subscribe and click the bell icon, Ian.
I don't know, Ian. Like, you kind of been slacking on that job for months, you know. This is my see. I just got the eye roll. You know, you didn't even try to deny it. Yep, 2-0.
2-0. Who scored
internship.
It?
Come on, man. Give me some shekels.
Piontek. God, that's a name. Piontek and Kendreva. That is prime late 2010s Milanese football.
Shit, I have some reading to do for class, but I'm gonna have to postpone that and go watch that game real quick. I love watching Juve lose, bro. So
we'll all go take a quick trip to Haterville, and we'll get off here and watch the last of that. thanks to everyone who, you know, logged on, gave us a comment, gave us a couple of views, maybe some likes. Like, share, subscribe, share again. please. No, but yeah, all good. We'll be back for episode 100. It's going to be great. We're going to have to make some plans. It's going to have to be
Something special. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So all you guys be on the lookout. It's going to be a fun one.
Be sure not to miss it. Click the bell icon below somewhere.
Yeah, what Ian said is what Ian said. But yeah, thanks everyone. We'll see you all in the next one. Peace. Brothers and sisters of the world.